Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
Welcome to another edition of Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, president of Local 237 Teamsters. With us back again is Congressman Gregory Meeks. Gregory Meeks was elected in 1998 and is the ranking member of Congress representing the Southeast, Queens, and parts of Nassau County, notably one of the most diverse counties in the nation. Prior to coming to Congress, he served in New York State Assembly, and before that, he worked as a Queens County District Attorney as prosecutor for a special anti-narcotics task force. Today, Congressman Meeks is the lead Democrat in the House Foreign Affairs Committee. He's also senior member to the Financial Services Committee, and in the 117th congressional session was the first black member of Congress to serve as chairman of the committee. Representative Meeks is married to Simone Marie Meeks. He also has three daughters and four granddaughters and one grandson. He earned a bachelor's degree in history from Adelphi University and his law degree from Howard University. He's also the co-chair of the JFK Redevelopment Community Advisory Council and proud member of the Delphi Fraternity Incorporated. Congressman, welcome back to Reaching Out. Once again, I can't count how many times you were here, but it has been at least 5 to 6.
Absolutely, and it's the Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity.
I'll
get that correct.
Thank you for correcting me. I always want to get things right. Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity. Oh, right. There's a lot going on in Congress. What is the latest on the Republican-led DHS shutdown? Everyone wants to know, especially those listening in long lines at the airport.
Well, look, clearly the Republicans, the House Republicans to be specific, are still trying to hold the American people and the traveling public hostage. One thing should happen. There was a bipartisan bill that was passed out of the Senate. 100%. All of the Democrats and Republicans voted on a bill that neither side got everything that they wanted, that would have ended this with making sure that the TSA agents received their pay, and well as those from the Coast Guard and FEMA. The MAGA Republicans, led by Speaker Johnson, well, actually really led by the de facto speaker, the president of the United States, Donald Trump, he's the de facto speaker, decided they weren't going to sign on to this and allow this shutdown to continue. The president has now found a way, and if he wanted to, he could have done so long before this, by some executive order and some money that they've already had because of the big, ugly bill, to start paying some of the TSA agents, as opposed to negotiating or going and voting of what had been negotiated with the bill in a bipartisan way. So things are up in the air still in regard to the ultimate determination with reference to TSA, the Coast Guard, and FEMA. So how long will this executive order last? Will this affect the TSA individuals in the future and they start not getting their paychecks again? We don't know, but temporarily, from what I looked at today, some of the lines have been reduced, and that's basically where we are. We're also hearing now that because the crux of the problem, Greg, is, we're not going to fund ICE. ICE has been running amok, arresting American citizens, as well as those who may not be American citizens but have not committed any felony. Because remember, the president said they were going to go after felons. They've killed two Americans. They're running around and just in black trucks with masks on, just picking people up, throwing them into the van, whether they're coming from a school or church or other places of that nature. They have warrantless arrests when they're going to people's homes and just locking folks up. We will not fund ICE. And we're saying with the Department of Homeland Security, let's fund everyone else. And then let's work so we get some reform on ICE. Senate agreed, House Republicans did not, and that's, you know, exactly where we are right now.
You know, I would never have thought that we would be at this point in our lives in the United States where U.S. citizens cannot walk around safely without being accosted by ICE agents that are supposed to be on the border in our cities. It's a disgrace. And people who voted for this, they say, I didn't vote for this. No, you voted. You were warned. This is what you voted for. And some of them have also suffered the consequences of their actions.
You're absolutely right. And it's now showing in the polls where Donald Trump is down to 31% on how he's handling business in the United States of America. You're absolutely right. I've got constituents now who want to walk around with passports or other mechanisms of ID. So if they're stopped, so it reminds me of apartheid in South Africa, where you could not walk around free. You had to have some form of ID that they would pick you up and throw you in, even if you're an American citizen. So it is unbelievable where we are right now.
Well, they're walking around with their passports, but these guys are so arrogant and ignorant that they would say the passport is not legal. So they would take their passport and good luck trying to get another one back. And it's no consequence. So you're not safe even with your passport.
That's true. That is true. People are not going to school, not going to church, not going shopping out of fear. This is in the United States of America. It's unbelievable that it's happening.
How detrimental is the SAVE Act to voting rights?
The SAVE Act basically is Jim Crow 2.0. We know that Jim Crow put up every barrier to prevent specifically African Americans from voting. Well, this is the same kind of thing that is taking place now, but it will affect, of course, poor people, of course, people of color, but also women, all those that had to fight for their right to vote. It's going to affect each and every one of them. You know, your driver's license would not be accepted as a usable ID. Although what this president has said, probably if you have a hunting license, that would be appropriate ID, just showing you that he's going after specific people. But what it says is that most forms of ID that people utilize every day would not be acceptable for you to vote. That you have to have a birth certificate. Now, if you have a birth certificate, but you're a woman who has been married and you're not using your maiden name, of course, it won't be on your birth certificate. So your birth certificate would not be a way to verify your ID based upon the SAVE Act. If, in fact, you are poor, the only way that you could get, only ID that you could get is a passport. And that costs a lot of money for some. And we know the lines and the length of time it takes to even get a passport most days. So you would not be eligible to vote in this primary election. And it's a search for a solution that's no problem. That's not a problem. This is, again, Donald J. Trump, who actually lies talking about elections or election problem, that elections are being stolen or people are voting illegally. We've had case after case in courts, individuals investigating this from the FBI and others, and there has been no finding of fraud. Very few, one or two issues, two cases, I should say, and those individuals were prosecuted. So this is something that is brought to the American people and by this president, basically trying to suppress the vote as opposed to making sure that everybody that is eligible to vote has an opportunity to vote. It also tries to end mail, vote by mail. Even though the president in this last election voted by mail, but he wants to take away that right and take away the rights from states, because the Constitution says the states make that determination, not the federal government. So again, this is part of the MAGA deal, make America great again. They'll take us back to a time when everybody who was American in the city, could in this country, could not vote. We don't want to go back to those times of Jim Crow, where I saw my father for years until he was adult, who did not have, could not vote in the South. And so we don't want to go back to those times. And I should add, Greg, you know, that's another reason why we have a problem and couldn't agree on even the TSA issue, which we talked about before, because the president gave the mandate to the Republicans in the House that they should not agree to anything unless he gets his so-called SAVE Act passed in Congress. So that's it's devastating, and all Americans should be concerned about what this president's trying to do. It's unconstitutional, it's unlawful, and I think that we'll win that issue in court.
So we have solutions in search of problems.
That's correct.
You know, some of us have not seen our birth certificate since Little League Baseball. We used to ask for it.
That's true. I didn't think about that, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So lowering the cost for American people was a campaign pledge of Donald Trump. Where do we stand now? Because my wallet says prices have gone up.
Well, every promise that Donald Trump ran on has been violated, basically. Starting all right off with Donald Trump's tariffs, which are a tax on the people. You know, that has caused prices to go up all across the board, starting with his so-called tax reform, where he is giving tax breaks to his friends, the billionaires of the world. Those are the ones that benefit from this tax breaks and the tax cuts that he put forward. You know, you hear them talk always about no tax on tips, et cetera. But they don't tell you that, number one, if one person in the family is not paying tax on tips, the other person in the family do. And most importantly, that expires. It's not permanent. It expires right after this midterm election. So it was only good for 2 years. Whereas the only tax cuts that were made permanent were the tax cuts for the rich. So again, it's making it more expensive for the average everyday American. Then you look at what he's done with his war of choice and what that has done. Gasoline prices have raised over 35 to 40%, more than more than it was before. That's affecting average everyday Americans and what their cost is just to get to and from work. The cost of food is going up, and also because of the war will continue to go up, because with the Strait of Hormuz closed, fertilizer along with oil can't get through, meaning that the farmers now have to pay more, which means the cost of food with the tariffs continue to go up, and the cost of living is high. Then you add on to the big ugly bill that was passed and what that does for health care, the cuts that will take place at Medicare and Medicaid and SNAP benefits, a lot of individuals. So all of that is at stake and will be reduced in regards to that. The cost of rent and even buying a home, interest rates and mortgages has all gone up under this president. So everything, if you look at the economy, that the president said he would work with and reduce has gone up tremendously, the cost of living for the average hardworking American, especially individuals. That's part of your great local and union 237.
You're listening to Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd. Our very special guest is Congressman Gregory Meeks, and we're just about to ask him more news on the war in Iran. Can you tell us why we went to war with Iran?
No, I can't tell you. I'm on the Committee of Jurisdiction. You know, Greg, since this war, before the war, and since the war's gone on, we've not had one hearing on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Not one. So much so that last week, I challenged the chairman of the committee, the Republican chair of the committee, as to why we didn't have one, why we didn't have witnesses that have been involved in the decision making of going to war before us in Washington, D.C. And I moved to subpoena Secretary of State Rubio, along with Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, who neither one of those two are really involved with the federal government. They've not been cleared by the Senate or anything else or appointed to anything, but yet they're doing all of the so-called negotiations, and they've gone completely around Congress with no accountability and no transparency to the American people. That has happened in that regard, and so therefore we are demanding it. And so now, up to date, we hear from the president and then contradictions from different members of his administration as to what is or is not happening with Iran. There has been no determination on how this war will end. There's been no consultation with Congress at all before the war started, along with our allies in the region and around the world. They all say they were not consulted by the United States at all. And so it was a war that was decided basically that the United States and Benjamin Netanyahu started with no, what the cost is going to be. There's all the intelligence indicated that there was no imminent threat to the United States, that Iran had not acquired a nuclear weapon. So when you hear the president say they may have struck us by now with a nuclear weapon, that's a lie. It is not the truth, which further, when you have a president that consistently lies, that's a problem. That's problematic in and of itself. So we will see. Because he has not, come to Congress. There's only been three classified meetings with the administration. One of those was just with the so-called Gang of Eight, meaning only eight members of Congress from the leadership positions were there. So I was not included in that, and most members were not. Then the Gang of 16, of which I am a member of. And then there was one meeting with the entire Congress. And the Gang of 16 meeting was just a rehearsal of what was going to take place when we met with the entire Congress, meaning that in essence, as far as I'm concerned, there was only two classified meetings. And guess what, Greg? The information that they gave us during that, we already knew all that information because it was already in the news. So there was nothing in addition that we knew in regards to what's taking place. And every day, the president and his administration are contradicting one another. So therefore, we do not know what the truth is. We do not know what their goals were. And we do not know. And then they have the nerve to come and ask Congress for another $200 billion for this war that he says is over, that we've already won. So it would be a blank check there. And just the days that we were, now 4 weeks or about, in war, we've already spent close to $16 billion and growing. And that's enough money if we wanted to. That you talk about health care, that would have taken care of a year of the tax credits that individuals could have received for their health care benefits under the Affordable Care Act. So this is a run-amok government, and I believe a president that is running a criminal enterprise from the White House, because the only one that's benefiting from anything is not the American people, but his family, his family, and his close friends.
Well, there are a couple of rulings that came down. One, that he has to fund PBS and public broadcasting. And the second is that he cannot build this grand ballroom larger than what's left of the White House.
Absolutely right. All of these are arbitrary and capricious decisions that he's made. We just had over this past weekend where worldwide people came out, even those that's not in the United States, but saying that there should not be. This country does not have a king. And it was a no king's day. He cannot make decisions arbitrarily and capriciously because he has a whim or a feeling. The White House does not belong to Donald J. Trump. The White House belongs to the people of the United States. And as the judge's ruling indicates, he should not have knocked down the east wing of the White House to put a ballroom without the approval of Congress and do it arbitrarily, capriciously. He claims, you know, to me, it's an ethics violation, even trying to go out to get private money to build it. That's what he talks about all the time, because those individuals give the money because they want to do business with the United States government, where they will make billions of dollars. So the return on their investment of giving the president what he wants will be great for them, but not for the people, not for the average, everyday working people of the United States of America. So these court decisions, paying PBS, which is vitally important for freedom of the press and freedom of statements of what they make. And I think that they do it in a better than a lot of folks because it's completely impartial, et cetera. So the courts have been, especially the lower courts, have been ruling very substantially in our favor. And we'll see. I know they probably will appeal to the Supreme Court, but I believe some of this is so egregious. Even the Supreme Court, where he has appointed a lot of those judges thereon, will have to say that what he's doing is completely illegal.
Will the Mets win the World Series today? We already know that's not going to happen this year.
Well, I keep hope alive.
You lose your closer. Listen, even if we were to go to the championship, National League championship, like we did a couple of years ago, can you imagine the trumpets playing against you? Dun, 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 dun. And here comes the man that we allowed to go away, our former closer, to close the gates on us. So, I mean, I don't see how you win that situation.
Well, look, it is about pitching, especially when they get to the playoffs. So then, you know, there's still some deals that can be made through. I'm hoping that, you know, that Soto will have a huge year because he got to, you know, hit the ball. And I think that we've got some opportunities there. But as you know, when I look at the Eastern Division, of which we are a part of, I think we can compete. I think the big question for all of the teams in the National League, especially, but probably in the whole league, is can you beat the Dodgers? That's the big threat.
That's it. Can you beat the Dodgers? And at what point will you face the Dodgers? Yeah. We'd be fortunate to face the Dodgers again in the National League Championship, where we fell two games short. That was a very good year for us.
Yeah, that was a good year. But I do want to win like you. I want to get into the World Series. I'd like to see another Subway Series, to be quite honest with you. That'd be good for New York and move there, you know, get that done. You know, we've got some things that are going on here around City Field, which is great. So we're going to have two new casinos in Queens, resorts, which falls right into our neighborhood in southeastern Queens. And it's going to create many jobs, as well as, you know, what the Mets is doing, Mr. Cohen, in Brown City Field, a new soccer stadium coming up also. So I look at it from two. I want to win the World Series. Our World Series with all New York's, because that then brings it, helps our overall New York City economy, creates jobs and opportunities. We can then move forward and take care of people that need help, you know, build more housing so that people can have affordable places to live, which is all important for the city of New York. So the Mets become an integral part of the economic stability of the city of New York. That's why we got to win.
Great vision. And on that, we're going to say it's been a nice show. You've been listening to Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, a very special guest, Congressman Gregory Meeks. Thank you, and come back anytime.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Greg. Always good to be with you. And thank you for your leadership, which is tremendously important in the city of New York, the way you lead individuals and take care of those, especially those in NYCHA. I'm a NYCHA child. I grew up in NYCHA. So I appreciate your leadership and how you take care of the workers of your great union.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
The preceding pre-recorded program paid for by Teamsters Local 237.